After our service today, we will be having a quarterly business meeting for those who are members of Faith Bible Church. And of course, anyone and all are welcome to attend. The business meetings of Faith Bible Church, there are four throughout any given year, three quarterly and one annual. It's at this time that the church membership and anyone else who is interested in hearing what's going on at the church are invited to come together and share some things as it pertains to the church's finances, various ministries of the church, building projects, the building improvement team, what their vision is. And then, of course, at the annual meeting, we vote in elders and the new fiscal budget. Now, why does the church have to have a business meeting? I suppose there are ways in which information could be passed on and shared with people of the church. But it's at a business-type meeting that we as members, we as a church, can come together and voice our concerns, voice our ideas, voice our feelings, voice our options, have questions answered. The founders of Faith Bible Church deemed it necessary to have these quarterly and annual business meeting, and so we carry on their vision of having these meetings. Plus, it's stated in our bylaws to do so. So that's why we have these meetings. And yet, having articles of incorporation and having bylaws and other various policies written up for the church, one might think that this church is run by man. And I think in some churches, the church is run by man. We desire to have this church run by God, not by us. Here at Faith Bible Church, we heed and obey His word. We never want to cast out God from our midst as a church. We never find ourselves leading this church so that when people see and hear about Faith Bible Church, all they see and hear is, hey, come look at us. I want people, when they hear and see Faith Bible Church, to say, hey, come look at Jesus, because this is what we're about, right? We never want to become a church where churchianity is the only characteristic that exemplifies the people who attend Faith Bible Church. And I realize that the word churchianity is not a real word. You won't find it in the dictionary. If you write it on a computer, it'll have a red squiggly line under it, meaning you've misspelled it. Or it doesn't exist. We don't want to be a church of churchianity. We want to be a church of Christianity. And I suppose if we use the word churchianity, it would be more likely today, because that's how today seems to be in a lot of churches. And if we were to give a definition to churchianity, it might be something like practicing our church and religious beliefs according to human standards rather than biblical principles. Churchianity churches have human bosses. Christianity churches have Jesus Christ as their boss. And when that happens, when we acknowledge God for who He is and give Jesus His rightful place on the throne, His rightful place to shepherd us, His rightful place to lead us, then the human tendencies that we seem to come up with, that we get hurt and offended by something that is said or done in the church, will not affect us. And yet if it does, that's all we will think about, that's all we will concentrate on, and we'll never get anything done in or around the church. But what is the church? The church is not this building. The church is not the sign out front that has our name on it. The church is not me as your pastor or the elders or the leadership of this church. The church is people. It's made up of people. You and me. People, Christians, who come through the door of this church on a Sunday morning or whenever we have a meeting. And we develop our horizontal relationships with one another as we concentrate on our deep, rooted relationship vertically with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the church is you, the church is me. It's us together who make up the church, who make up this church. And this church that is made up of people, you and me, together we practice Christianity, valuable Christianity, rather than valueless churchianity. Because Christianity is biblical, churchianity is non-biblical. Christianity is self-giving. Churchianity is self-serving. We are a koinonia. We are a communion, a fellowship of one body, the body of Christ. And I realize that when you get in a group of people together, a large group of people together, the propensity is to share my thoughts, to share my opinions, my ideas, and then in the end, wanting and desiring my own way to come through. And that's where people tend to get hurt or offended, because we didn't follow that one person's ideas or suggestions or opinions. If that's us, I've got two words. Stop it. Stop it. That was four words. But I think that's our human tendency. We hear it all the time as we are bombarded through the media. Have it your way. It's my money and I want it now. Or this new Nike commercial I saw recently where it's nothing but you're unlimited in anything you can do. And as I watched that commercial, I saw nothing but arrogance and pride coming through. We can't be a church like that. I don't think God honors a church like that. I don't think God blesses a church like that. And I sure don't want to miss out on his blessing. Do we want God to honor this church? Do we want God to bless this church? How is that going to happen? It's going to happen when the church gets along with each other. There's no gossip. There's no harboring bad feelings. There's no seeking revenge or retaliation. There's no getting upset because we didn't get our way. But rather, there's love being displayed, love being shown, love being expressed to one another despite what the outcome was. That is a God-honoring church. Now hear me out. I don't want to ever hear anyone say, I love him in the Lord. I love her in the Lord. That's not good. You know why it's not good? Because what you're really saying is, I hate her. I hate him. You're blaming God. Aren't you? Don't blame God for what you are supposed to be doing. You love that person. You love her. You love him. And I know it's easy to say that. I love him in the Lord. I mean, we really do. In the Lord, we do love each other. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. We're to love in our own accord, period. And I think the reason the Church of Jesus Christ today is so crippled is because people in the church are not functioning as the body is to function. And so today I want to look at three things on your outline that I think typify and characterize the body of Christ. But these are very strategic. Three strategic things that characterize the body of Christ. And if you're following on your outlines, number one is unity. Unity. The dominant character of the church is unity. Look at our text, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Paul writes this, for just as the body is one, he's talking here about a physical body, not the church, but a physical body. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. A physical body must be one, right? It must be one. You can't take a physical body and put a leg over there or an arm over here and say, now body, go and do something. You can't say to those disconnected members of your physical body, now get with it and start functioning. Get to work. A body is a unit or it doesn't exist at all. It must be one. So Paul says here what in verse 12? The body is one and has many functioning members. So what he's saying there is we can't say, oh, this left hand of mine is so gifted. I've done so many good things with this left hand, so many wonderful things. It's so gifted and equipped with gifts that I want to cut it off and send it to someone else to use for a while. What's going to happen? The hand's going to be useless. Why? Because it's going to die. It has to be connected to the body to live, right? Well, that's the same as it is in the church. Look at the end of verse 12. Did you notice these words? So it is with Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. We function as a unit or we don't function at all. Now, with the physical body, the life is the head, right? You cut this head off and the body's going to die. But not so with Christ. There's no more life. The body ceased to exist. But it is so with Christ also, that if you cut him off as the head, the church ceases to function, right? There's no more life in the church. Paul said in Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church. And some people today think they are the head of the church. In fact, there's one person in the world who thinks he is the head of the church, and he's not. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, his church. We are one body, unity, receiving all of our resources, all of our wisdom, all of our strength, all of our instruction from the same head. Now notice verse 13. For this is how we get into the body. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Just as a sidelight, did you notice all the ones? Verse 12, the body is one. One body, verse 13, one spirit, one body, and then again, one spirit. Do you think Paul is emphasizing unity here? So what's the initial point of our unity? It's salvation. We all came by one spirit into the body. We all came through the one way, John 14:6, Jesus Christ, into the body. All of us have the same indwelling spirit. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. So this brings to question, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You hear this, you see this in charismatic movement a lot. It's a second baptism, they claim, that a person has to go through. What does verse 13 say? For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. I think what verse 13 is saying, it's placing us into the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Spirit. We came into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation by being placed there by the Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing more than that. It's nothing less than that. The Holy Spirit regenerates us and places us into the body of Christ and comes to indwell us. So does every Christian, every believer, have the indwelling Spirit? Absolutely. Paul says in Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And here it is. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. What's he saying? This is the point of our unity. We have one Spirit. He's the same in me as he is in you. Therefore, our unity is where? In the Spirit. That's where we find our unity. That's why when a believer operates in the flesh, they operate contrary to the functioning of the body. Because the body must operate, how? In the unity of the Spirit. And this is what I find fascinating and interesting, is how once we've all gotten that unity, we've all been placed into the body, we all seem to scatter. The same Spirit regenerates us. The same Spirit indwells us. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We all came in the same way, have the same indwelling Spirit, and then poof, we tend to separate ourselves from others. And so the church spends all its time trying to get everybody back together, get all the members back together into one body as we are supposed to be. And so the message of the body of Christ is that we are one, unity. There's no room for hierarchy. There's no room for upper class. There's no room for lower class. In fact, there are no such thing as an isolated believer. A person cannot sit over there, or a person cannot sit over there and isolate themselves. We're in the body. We're part of it, just as anyone else who believes is in the body. So that being said, we should not get hurt. We should not get offended. In fact, in the Church of Christ, there should be no discrimination. The church that Christ has created, Matthew 6:18, I will build my church. This church that he created, he is the head. It's headed by Christ, tolerates no distinctions. We need to function together and be sensitive to one another. Don't be one that just comes on Sunday mornings and think, well, God, I know you're just really blessed to have me here. People who think that way are non-members who cripple and maim the body of Christ, because we are one. We are one. We are together functioning in unity as we are placed into the body, Jesus Christ, by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Unity. Number two, diversity. Diversity. Now, it seems strange. We just finished talking about unity, and now we're going to talk about diversity. So what is it, unity or diversity? I remember growing up, my mom would say, Lori, do you want a piece of coconut cream pie or a piece of cherry pie? And I'd say, yes, please. It's both, unity and diversity. If it is true that we are one, unity, but we are also what? What does verse 12 say? Many members. So what is Paul saying there? Unity is our foundation. Unity is our base. Diversity is our function. It's our operation. Look at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You don't need to turn there, but Paul says over in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And this is where diversity comes into play. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6, 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gifts. Those are spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in most people. Is that what it says? Oh, in all, in everyone. Everyone. Who empowers them all in everyone. No one is left out. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift. Everyone can do service. Everyone can be involved in activities. How? Verse 6, it is the same God who empowers them all. The same God, the same Lord who is Jesus Christ, and the same Spirit. And in the Spirit, it is the Spirit, verse 11, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So why is there diversity in the body? Because not one person can do it all, right? Not one person can do it all. I can do one thing, you can do one thing, another person can do another thing. Now, in the physical body, any one organ that quits functioning maims and cripples the body. That's why we work. We work together and we serve together for the health of the body. So if a person is equipped with a spiritual gift and never uses their spiritual gift, the church will suffer for it. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts anyway? Well, if we were to take the time this morning to read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, we would see a common phrase. The phrase is, so that the church may be built up. That's the purpose of spiritual gifts. So that the church may grow and be edified and build itself up. Look at verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's the common good? It's the building up of others. Go back to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 24. Paul writes, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So spiritual gifts are not for our own personal enrichment. They're for building up the body of Christ. And if you are not using the spiritual gift God has given to you, someone in the church is being cheated. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:10, each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We are given our spiritual gift or gifts at the time the Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ for the purpose of using them. Why? So that the church may be built up. And this diversity of gifts in the body is what brings the body unity. How does that work? Well, I think you're familiar with that passage in Ephesians 4 that says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to what? The unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can't you just hear your kids in the back seat? Are we there yet? And we may not be there yet. Why? Because some in the body are not using their spiritual gifts to help grow the body. And when everyone in the church is using their spiritual gift to help grow the body, we will have a full complement of gifts being used for everyone's edification, everyone's growth. And guess what? You don't have to be a member of Faith Bible Church to use your spiritual gift. We come together to serve together, and we use our spiritual gifts together. You're ministering to me, I'm ministering to you, and together we are able to grow into one perfect, mature body. And if you're not using your spiritual gift, please don't wait for the church. Please don't wait for the church to come to you to use your spiritual gift. Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, use it. Use it. Go find somebody on your own and use your gift. The Holy Spirit didn't give us these gifts just to stick on a shelf. Well, I don't know what my gifts are. Then go and find out. How? Well, for starters, read 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 4, Romans 12. Study the gifts, pray about it, determine what it is you really enjoy and like doing, and then see if one of those gifts is one of those things you really like and enjoy doing, and then go do it. We also have in the office some spiritual gift analysis tests that may help in determining and discovering what your spiritual gift may be. But notice again verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 12. But it is the same God who empowers them all. All what? The gifts, the service, the activities to everyone. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift. Discover what that spiritual gift is and go and use it. The church needs that diversity so the church can experience unity. Number 3, mutuality. Mutuality. The body must have unity, it must have diversity, It must have mutuality. It all has to blend together in harmony. This mixture of people from various backgrounds, upbringings, different church cultures. Look at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 12. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. What's Paul saying there? There are people who think they're insignificant. There are people who think they don't belong to the body. They're insignificant. Look, we all have the same indwelling spirit. We all have significance. And that significance is to be used in the body of Christ. Because we have a function in the body. Notice verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. God has a master plan for unity. He has a master plan for diversity. He has a master plan for mutuality. Look at verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? So to have unity, there must be diversity. And because of diversity, there is to be mutuality. Again, no person, one person can do it all. We need everyone participating, everyone involved, everyone ministering to each other. We all have different things to do, so let's get busy and do them, and this brings harmony to the body. Verse 25. Why do we need unity? Why do we need diversity? Why do we need mutuality? Verse 25, that there may be no division. Now that's different than diversity. That there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We are the body of Christ. Unity within this body of Christ. Members in particular. Diversity. And as the church functions and the people of church use their God-given gifts and serve one another mutually to where there's harmony, there's no hierarchy, there's no dictator, there's not one person in charge. Jesus Christ is in charge because it is his church. It is his body. Guys, we've got to be a healthy church. We've got to be a healthy church. And in order to be a healthy church, the church needs you, it needs me. We really don't need any more organization. We need more body unity. In John 17, verse 20 and following, Jesus prayed for that unity. He was praying, I do not ask for these only, speaking to his disciples, about his disciples, but also those who will believe in me through the disciples' word, Acts 1:8. Where they became witnesses, and today we are an effect of that beginning. He says, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. He prayed for unity in his body. Let's be an answer to his prayer. Let's be an answer to the prayer Jesus prayed. As he prayed for unity. Our unity is in the Spirit. It's not in this church's organization. And there will be true unity when we humble ourselves, when we work together. And Philippians 2:2, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. When we get to the point where we love and we could care less whatever happens to us, and we begin to minister in mutuality with our spiritual gifts. The diversity to one another. Now, let me close by saying this. Many of you know that we as a church experienced a tough decision this year when the building improvement team shared their vision with us about the removal of the baptistry in the basement for the purpose of enlarging the rooms down there to have more room for our children. God has blessed us with young families God has blessed us with young parents who have young children and even more on the way. And we haven't had that for a long time. It's fantastic. I love it. It's great to have these little kids running around. But the children need space to learn about Jesus. They can't all be cramped up in a little classroom. Pardon my lips there. You try standing up here and doing this. If you stay for the meeting, you'll see pictures of just how cramped the kids are and can be in these classrooms. So something desperately needs to be done. Well, we did it. We had a meeting this last summer. We voted on the motion to remove the baptistry, and that motion passed. So I, as your pastor, want to encourage all of us now to get involved in this project. Let's move ahead with it. And guys, this is where unity and diversity and mutuality come into play. We must ask ourselves, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You see, the vision of the building improvement team, once we voted on it and it passed, now becomes our vision. It's up to us to follow through with that motion, to follow through with this vision. It becomes our responsibility. We take ownership of it. How do we do that? Obviously, we pray. We give financially. We help where we can. And by talking about it to each other, and we get excited about the potential. So we can look at this project through eyes of churchianity, or we can look at this project through eyes of Christianity. What's it going to be? Let me close by reading three verses, Romans 15, verse 5, 6, and 7. Listen to what Paul writes. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are your body, the body of Christ. Help us now to function as that body, to have unity, and yet to have diversity of using our gifts that you have enabled us and given to us to use to help edify and grow up and mature this body, and yet help us to be in harmony with one another. Because when all is said and done, it's for your glory, for your honor, for your purpose. Search our hearts, Father. Cleanse us. Set us apart. Sanctify us. Make us holy people for your holy calling, which is to love the Lord our God with all our soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Help us to begin right here in this body, where no one is cut off, but we all come together as your body, living in harmony, focusing on you and you alone. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.